5:35. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA, Wednesday. All right. Slight calibration or recalibration weather-wise. Now they're saying not quite a 50-50 chance of rain and thunder boomers overnight. All right, so stay close. We'll keep you up to speed on all of that. He's back! I would say bigger than ever, but that's not true. Just better than ever. We haven't chatted in a while. Our dear friend, citizen journalist, citizen reporter, expert WWE analyst, Mike Dickinson. Mike Dickinson, thank you for being here.
Of course, anytime.
Well, we are so happy to have you back in rotation. You were under the weather a little bit, then you had this war. You had like a war of words going on with every airline in America, or you just missed a flight. I forget, but it sounds better if we talk about your war with the planes.
It was terrible. You know, these airlines are terrible these days with they overbook flights. They act like it's no big deal. They know the flights are going to get messed up, and they just overbook or they don't schedule them, and then you as the consumer have no really options of what to do. So I mean, it's really terrible. They don't really run it like a business.
Mm-hmm. No, I would ask you which airline it was, but at this point, it could have been any of them, huh?
Yeah, I've traveled a lot the last month, and believe me, none of them are very good right now. They lose baggage, they run late, they oversell the flights. They really just don't care, and there's nothing that you can do about it because they really don't care.
No, they really don't care. That becomes abundantly clear the longer that you are waiting for them to do something, and it's they don't care. But
yeah,
all of that being said, we do care about one or two other things. UVA is are we number one with a bullet, or are we falling? I mean, we're not nearly the most liberal institution in America that I thought we were.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, they rank the top liberal schools in America, and UVA is the 20th most liberal college in America, which it's surprising that it's not like number one, because you would think that it would be like the number one most liberal school with all of the indoctrination and all of the troubles and stuff going up there. But it's only the number 20th. So that's kind of sad. I think it's a sad state for the state of America and higher institutions, because, you know, we know that UVA is pretty terrible when it comes to, you know, the professors that are there, the leadership that's been there, the organizing of kids coming out who are not educated but who are indoctrinated. And you know, it's surprising that's only 20th, but you know, really, it's not surprising. I mean, colleges in America and the whole system of higher learning in America has been corrupted by these, I would say, these nerds with PhDs, but I am a nerd with a PhD, but I've worked in the real world, but I can tell you, having dealt with a lot of nerds with PhDs, they don't understand reality, and their whole thing is, you know, any of the social justice contract, it's a bunch of malarkey and a bunch of stupidity, but that's what they're putting into kids at places like UVA and VCU and all the universities. They've gotten away from like the X's and O's and nuts and bolts of what really makes the country great and what really makes business go. And instead you're paying $100,000 a year for your kid to learn about some BS, you know, gender studies theory that's not going to make them $1. And then they're going to graduate college and wonder why they can only get a job at Starbucks. Yep. And then they're going to want to unionize because they demand to get paid. You know, I have a master's degree in art, and I demand to get paid this amount of money. I have a master's degree in gender studies, and all I can do is make coffee.
Yep. Well, these are the folks who are lining up. They're thrilled to vote for the so-called Democratic Socialists of America. These are communists. They're down with the revolution, Mike, because they have, I don't want to be nasty, but in many ways, they've kind of failed in the real world, haven't they?
Most of them have, you know, most of them have. And the sad thing is, like, most of these leaders of these democratic socialist movements, they're not people who have actually come up they've come up. Most of them have come up rich. You know,
yes.
The mayor of New York grew up rich. His wife, who went to VCU and studied art, she didn't grow up in the project. She grew up rich.
That's right.
And if you look at most of the leaders of these socialist movements that want to tell you, you know, oh, having too much is bad. Well, they went to private schools. Their parents were rich. They lived in a gigantic house. They had everything they wanted. But now they want to tell you and they want to tell everybody else that that's bad, that anybody who does that is bad. But yet they're the ones that are actually bad.
Yeah. Well, that's you are spot on, Mike. These are the Nepo babies, right? I used to call them the Trustafarians. They've never had to work a day in their life. They'll never have to work a day in their life. They've got trust funds that will keep them for 6 years after they pass away, and so that they can feel better about everything they have. They want to take the stuff that Mike Dickinson and Jeff Katz and some other people worked really hard for and broke our asses to earn, but somehow they're going to take it and redistribute it to their friends who also have thoroughly usable, important degrees like gender studies and music appreciation.
Exactly. I don't understand, you know, the taxpayers and the people that do these student loans, they should be very irritated. I mean, you want to talk about why student loans don't work in America or why they're not working in America. It's because people are dumb and they're taking out all of this loan to get a degree that doesn't pay. You know, sure, gender studies or, you know, LGBT literature study, that may be a fun little degree to get, but it's not going to make you any money. If you want to get money and you want to get paid, go get a degree in something that's hard, like math, science. It's a hard degree, but you know what? Engineering. But you know what? When you graduate with a degree in something like that, you're going to come out and make six figures with no problem whatsoever. But it's hard. You're not going to be able to sit there and, you know, read poetry that whines about America or whines about, oh, you know, the plight of the gay citizen, the plight of this person. There's no money in that, you know. Yeah. So cry me a river. Now,
that's
if you want to
exactly
do something
right.
noble. If you want to do something noble, like be a school teacher, go and get an English, a master's in English, and then you'll have a nice, noble career as an English teacher. But don't get a degree in, you know, gender literature and then expect to be a millionaire.
Right. And that's the thing. Now, part of it, Mike, you know as well as I do, if you're going to go, you're going to get your degree in, I don't know, gay music appreciation. I'd appreciate hearing some gay music. I don't even know what it is, but I guarantee you, I guarantee you're going to finish with a 4.0, because who can tell you that you're wrong, right? I mean, there's nothing definitive there. We can't define the W and WNBA. So, I mean, everything is subject to interpretation. So you have to finish with a 4.0. But put yourself in an engineering program, man, and if you got that equation wrong, there goes your perfect average.
Exactly. You know, it goes back to just really about how people don't want to be held accountable. People don't want to do anything that challenges them. They want to coast and get a 4.0 in something they like. They don't want to learn anything. They don't want to have the possibility of failure, because it would be too much for them to handle because they've been coddled their whole life. And that's unfortunately, right. and you hear about that too with like these public school systems that are changing the grading rubric because, you know, it would be emotionally devastating for somebody to get told they're a C average or a D on a test. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry, but when I was in high school, believe it or not, I failed many tests. And you know what? It made me a better person, because when you fail a test, it tells you you've got to go study a little bit harder.
That's right.
And it's a life lesson you learn. You know, that if you don't study, you know, you're going to get your butt kicked. And a lot of these kids that are coming up that have been brainwashed, and a lot of the high schools and a lot of the teachers, not all of them, but a lot of the teachers that are in these teachers unions, they don't want to teach. They don't want to be held accountable for failure either. So they teach to pass students.
Yep.
And in doing so, they really set the kids up for failure the rest of their lives, because when you get out there in business, whether you're owning a lemonade stand or an auto parts store or anything, or having a radio show, you have to do and have a product that sells, because if your product doesn't sell, nobody cares, and then you don't make money. It's not guaranteed. You know, that's why they all end up working at Starbucks, whining about this and that, and end up unionizing, or they end up working at McDonald's and they want to march around and picket the block because we demand a living wage, but yet they don't want to put any work in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is why the robot kiosks are taking over. They don't call out sick. They don't unionize. Now, in all fairness, they can't tell you about gay literature, but I'm okay with that. I just want them to provide a burger and a drink of some sort, and I will be okay.
Exactly.
Hey,
give me my
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things that happened while you and I were away from each other, Mike, is that Brock Lesnar apparently has said, yeah, that's it, I'm done. Is that for real? Is Brock Lesnar really, honestly retired?
I think he might be. You know, it took place in his hometown. He might, you know, maybe we'll see him again down the road at one of the big ones like WrestleMania or maybe a run-in spot. But that guy's got so much money. He likes his privacy. He doesn't want to be bothered by anybody, quite frankly.
Yep.
You know, maybe he just wants to be done with it and go and be on his Canadian 400, 500 acre estate with a bunch of moose or meese. I don't know what the plural of moose is, but you know, he wants to be surrounded by the caribou.
Yeah.
And his wife Sable.
Yeah, well, you know what, Mike, except for the caribou or the moose or the meese, I'm with him. I would totally like to be in the middle of 500 of my own acres that nobody can find. That's my goal in life. What about CM Punk and Kevin Owens? Are they throwing down in Toronto? Is that what I heard? KO and TO?
Yeah, that's going to be a great match too. You know, they've been working up to that for a little bit too. These are two guys that Kevin Owens came from the Indies, made a huge mark in WWE. He was out for a while with what was possibly could have been a career ending injury. Punk has been, you know, he's been champion now. He's been in a bunch of major storylines. He kind of had a big, big second half of his career coming back to WWE.
Yeah.
So this is a match that people have wanted for a long time. They both Punk and Owens have both kind of thrived on being, I don't want to say outlaw, but kind of being the indie outlaw in WWE or the anti-establishment guy in WWE, because they're both different. Punk with the way that he's kind of always been a loner,
yep,
and kind of never really liked the establishment. And Kevin Owens, you know, the guy that wrestles on a T-shirt, the guy that doesn't look like your typical WWE wrestler, never has.
Yep, yep. And according to James E. Cornette, a guy that is not familiar with where showers are located in locker rooms.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's channeling his inner Rikishi and saying, hey, well, I'm taking you out, brother, and you're not going to like the way it happens. But I don't know. Mike, it is so good to hear your voice again. So glad to have you back. And next week, we're looking forward to it. I always look forward to chatting with you.
Definitely. Sounds good.
Thank you, my friend. That is Mike Dickinson, nobody better. Citizen journalist, citizen reporter on all those big-time serious issues, and our go-to WWE expert analyst. What can I tell you? Good, good, solid dude. It is 17:48 hours. Go get your translator out and figure out what time it is. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.